This is our reading for Wednesday, April 8th. We're going to start in John chapter 9 and verse 1. John 9 and verse 1. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. And now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called his parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know how who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." I've always found John chapter 9 to be a fascinating chapter, dealing with all the different facets, if you will, of simply healing a man that was born blind. And there's several different points that I want to make out of this chapter, so bear with me as we go through it again in order to make these comments. Verse 2, the disciples ask this question, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I made mention earlier on in our daily readings that this was a common thought during this time, that if somebody was born blind, such as this man, that there had to be some sort of sin that happened in order to cause that physical malady. And if that's not true, but it still was the prevailing thought. And so Jesus answered it with verse 3. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. So this prevailing thought that sin causes this is very similar to the idea of inherited sin today. And it's interesting that they ask that question, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind, as if a child could sin before they were born. But nevertheless, they're trying to come to terms with what they see around them. And we do that. We look at different things that happen around us, and we try to come to terms with those things, try to give some sort of an explanation. Now, for us today, when we look around at evil and we look around at suffering, there's not always an explanation outside of the fact that this is the effect of sin. Sin brings suffering and death into the world. Sin brought the decay of what God had created that was so good. And if sin had never come in, then we would never know the physical maladies and suffering and disease and different things that are happening to us. So I realize that we want to be able to have some reasoning or some explanation for things, but sometimes there's just not more of an explanation than that. Then he goes on in verse 4 and makes this statement, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. This is not as confusing as it might seem on the outset. Night would just be a representation of death. And so the meaning just is making the best use of our time. What am I going to do while I have the capability to do it? While I'm here and I'm alive, then I must be doing the works that are assigned to me to do. And then verse 5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. We've discussed that previously, beginning in chapter 1. Then it goes into the healing of this man, spitting on the ground, making mud with the saliva, anointing the man's eyes, and telling him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which the man did, and came back with his eyesight. Oftentimes, people ask the question of why didn't Jesus just speak and he was healed instead of making this mud using his saliva. I don't know that I have a perfect answer for you. I do know that there are times in which prophets used a symbolic or expressive action as they worked a miracle. For example, Elisha had his staff laid on the face of a child that he was about to restore to life in 2 Kings 4. And so these are instances that showed that the miracle was performed through him, at least for the prophet. Now for Jesus, I don't know that I have a great answer as to why he did it this way, except to deal with the conception that the Pharisees had regarding the Sabbath, that they thought this was an unlawful action. One of the things that Jesus did during his ministry was to challenge the man-made traditions and laws of the leadership of the time in order to teach greater spiritual truths. And so this may simply be one of those times in which he is challenging those thoughts of the Pharisees and their particular rules that they were following. There may also be some symbolism here with the pool of Siloam, which means sent, for him to be sent to clean and him to be obedient in that regard. I can't answer that with 100% certainty. Verse 8, so then the neighbors begin noticing that this guy that they know as the beggar is now able to see. And some are looking at him and saying, no, that's him. And others are saying, no, it must be somebody that just looks like him. I think that's a reasonable way to look at it, just because if you knew somebody that had been blind from birth that's suddenly walking around, you would probably doubt yourself. You would probably think, I know that looks like him, but that must be somebody else. So that it's understandable to have this discussion here. But the man keeps saying, no, that's me. And then they ask, well, then how are your eyes open? In other words, how are you able to see now? And he recounts what happens. They ask him, where is he? He says, I don't know. Remember that, as far as I can tell, the way John wrote it, that Jesus makes the mud, puts it on his eyes, tells him to go to the pool, and then leaves. So this man has not seen him. He's heard his voice, but he has not seen him with his eyes at this point. At least I think that's what's going on from the way that John writes it. Verse 13, they bring him to the Pharisees. I'm guessing that they bring him either because they think that something's been going on that's unlawful for the Sabbath, or they just know that the Pharisees would be interested to know what had happened here. So it was the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees again asked him how he'd received his sight. He tells them again. And the Pharisee said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. So they draw a conclusion that this man can't be from God because he breaks their rules about the Sabbath. Not God's rules, but their own rules, those traditions that they put in place to restrict what's done on the Sabbath. And so they say, well, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? So they're saying, you know, okay, well, you say he's not from God, but we know that this happened. There's no denying that. So how would he be able to do that if he was not from God? So then they turn around and ask him again. And, you know, this time they're asking for more information. What do you say? What's your impression? What do you think about him? That's what they're asking, and he says he's a prophet. But Jews did not believe that he'd been blind. So then they call in the parents. Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see? And the parents give a very cautious answer. We know that this is our son. We know that he was born blind. Now, how he sees now, we don't know. So they're being very cautious, and they end up saying, he is of age, or he's an adult. Let him talk for himself. And verse 22, John tells us why his parents said these things, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. That's why his parents are saying, he is of age, ask him. So for the second time, they call the man, and they say, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. And the man answers, whether he's a sinner, I don't know. And he confesses the one thing he does know. I was blind, now I see. He gained that sight. Just keep this in mind. He gained that sight when he did what Jesus told him to do. Verse 26, they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And I think at this point, the man's frustrated. He says, I've told you already and you won't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? I don't know if this was a real question or if he was pushing back on them and making a statement they would find offensive or ridiculous. But verse 28, they revile him for saying this, saying, you are his disciples, we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he comes from. They should know where he comes from by now. There's been enough happened by this point and enough of these discussions that they should know. But they've closed their eyes. Even those that should know the scriptures and be able to identify Jesus, they're still not able to do this. And the man answered, this is an amazing thing. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. In other words, you are the religious leaders. You're the ones that are supposed to know, and yet you don't know, yet this man opened his eyes. This is an event that they should understand. So they say, we know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And so then they answer him, saying, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" They're just using that as an excuse to cast him out and to ignore him. Now, Jesus heard about this, that he finds him and says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Keep in mind, the way that John has written this, as far as we can tell, this man has not physically seen Jesus. This would be the first time. Verse 36, he answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." Now, the man puts two and two together here, and that's why he responds in verse 38, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not know, who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." He's talking about opening hearts. He's talking about their reception to the truth about who Jesus is, who he's sent by, and what his role is. Well, some of the Pharisees see him, nearby, hear these things, and say, "Are we also blind?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." He's talking about the fact that as the religious leaders and the educated in the scriptures, they should have been able to see these things. But because they've closed their hearts and not allowed themselves to see, then the guilt of that denial remains. So these are some important things for us to consider as we think about our own spiritual life. Are we truly opening ourselves up to God? Are we truly opening ourselves up to His Word? Or have we made some decisions ahead of time that block ourselves from seeing the truth? We must always approach the Scriptures with an open heart to hear what God has said. And that's going to take some effort. It's going to take some work for us to be able to find the whole counsel of God as He has delivered it to us. So I hope that you've opened your heart to the Word today and that these things have helped your faith and helped your understanding. I pray that we all believe in Jesus and that we're all obedient to the commands that He has given so that we can gain the life that He offers. If there's anything that I can do for you, any questions that I can answer, please reach out to me and I will be happy to assist you. Please continue to pray for your brethren and pray for the God's providence to be used in a positive way as the world deals with the current virus epidemic. Thank you for listening, and I hope that you will come back for another reading tomorrow.